I want to talk to you about being led by the Holy Spirit, and I want to go to John's Gospel, the 16th chapter, verse 7. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he's calming them with this truth that he said, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, this is referring to the Holy Spirit, who had not yet been poured out to the degree that he was about to be poured out. In the Old Testament, you can see smatterings of the Spirit of God moving on the priests and on the Levites and on the prophets on different seasons and at different times. But what Jesus came to usher in was so advantageous that he said to his disciples, look, it is good that I'm going to die and be buried and rise again and leave, because if I didn't, then I wouldn't be able to send this other helper. And in that word helper, it embodies so much. But right after this, I mean, he helps us. He's the God of all comfort. He helps us in every area of our life. But I want to talk to you on the subject of guidance, and more specifically on how to be led by this amazing helper. Look at verse 13. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. Guidance is so needed. Guidance is so important. Psalm 23:2 says that he guides me beside quiet waters. Psalm 25:9 says he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Psalm 48:14 said he will be our guide even to the end. Psalm 73:24, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. So it goes over and over again. God is interested in guiding us and leading us. And I'm going to show you that in the book of Romans in a minute, but he says he will guide you into all the truth. Let me just tell you what he can do and what he cannot do. He can guide us into all the truth because he's the Spirit of truth. In fact, he cannot ever guide us into error because he's the Spirit of truth, and he will guide us into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. Just as Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, the Holy Spirit is basically saying here, I take from Jesus and I reveal it to you. So there's a cohesion there and the amazing mystery of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we see here that Jesus is saying there's an advantage. And what I want to centrally focus upon is the opportunity we have to be led by and to follow the Spirit. I want to go to Romans chapter 8, and I want to look at this as our text. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, 15, and 16, it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Monsignor Ronald Knox, Catholic translator, translated it this way, those who follow the leading of God's Spirit are all God's sons. All who follow the leading of God's Spirit are all God's sons. Another way to put it is that inherent in the new birth, when you're born of the Spirit, you have access to the Father of spirits. John 4:24 says, God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, we are spiritual beings made in God's image. Genesis chapter 1 tells us, let us make man in our image. God made us on purpose for his purposes, and he created us to be eternal. But, you know, the Bible says that which is of the flesh is flesh, that which is of the spirit is spirit. When Nicodemus asked about it, he said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. There's a physical birth. There's also a spiritual birth. That's why he said you must be born again. The reason for that is because at the beginning in the garden, when things were cool, we had a beautiful connection with God. And that was forfeited because of free moral agency or free choice. God gave us a will and he gave us options. And he says, listen, don't eat this fruit, you know, because in dying you will surely die. So man's dilemma is that we've fallen short of the glory of God and been severed from fellowship and connection with God. Man's nature is that we're not the top of the sentient animal kingdom. We're actually made in God's image. So we're not just mammals that just crawl to the top. We are people that God has created along with all the rest of everything, but we are biblically made in God's image, spirit, soul, and body. Now, there's an outer man and there's an inner man. But within the framework, my viewpoint from the scriptures is that we are spirits, we have souls, and we live in bodies. Now, these verses here are very telling, because what they're basically saying is, when you get hardwired in connection with God, like Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. That God, when he causes the new birth, just as when I was born in 1956, February 56, I was born as a citizen of the United States, I was born as a human being, and I had these inherent elements of being a person born in this time and that season as a citizen. When I was born again back in 1972, I received the spirit of adoption. In fact, you have not received a spirit of slavery leading back to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, this suggests paradise lost, paradise restored. We were separated, alienated, and lost. And one of the great advantages of Jesus dying for us is that we have access back to the Father. We were estranged. We had no hope. We were without God in the world. Jesus didn't come to establish some sort of traditionalized routine. He called people back to God, to fellowship with God. And the main method God uses to reinforce whether or not that's happened to each one of us is the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, this is a mouthful, and I want you to just live on this for a minute. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, testifies with our spirit. Now, this is another statement that we are spirit beings. The other reasons I know that is our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's an outer man that perishes, but there's an inner man that's being renewed day by day, that we're to be strengthened with might and power by His Spirit in the inner man. There is an inner man. Now, some believe that there's just an inner man and an outer man, and the soul and the spirit are just one. I don't agree with that, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, when Paul the Apostle was praying for the church in Thessalonica, he was praying that the God of peace, look what it says here, it says the God of peace would sanctify you entirely, and that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete. Now, there is a wholeness. We're holistic beings, spirit, soul, and body. We're all, in some ways, this is all part of the holistic nature of life, but the writer of that said three different words. Pneuma for spirit, that's where we get pneumatic, where it's like the wind. Psuche, that's the root word for psychology or psychiatry. It's the study of the mind and of the will and the emotions and those types of things. And then soma for body. There is a distinction between spirit and soul and body. And Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the word of God is the only thing that can bring a dividing between spirit and soul and body. God does not want us to be soulish, where we're just governed by the psychology and that which is exposed, we gain exposure from our senses. That's a very limited resource. God, in fact, has activated us back to himself so we can tap into him by the Spirit. And those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what this reveals to us is that his Spirit testifies, the King James says, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So this bearing of witness is the primary agency that God uses, his Holy Spirit, to our newly recreated human spirit, that something's happened on the inside. You guys remember when you asked Jesus in your heart? Some of you are here and you're seeking God and you're not sure you're saved, or you don't know whether you've surrendered your life to him or not. Well, I have evidence for you from the Bible that that's a verifiable moment that the Holy Spirit is faithful to confirm to you, and that there'll be a no-so salvation that'll come into your life. If you're antagonized about it, if you're wondering about it, if maybe you think you have to earn it or it's something that you work for or that kind of thing, listen, that's going to get dispelled. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. But yet, when we call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says we'll be saved. Well, then what's the verifier? Do we look in the mirror and we look better? Do we look 10 years younger? Or do we, you know, just have some sort of our voice change and we could sing operatically now or something? None of that changes. Your body doesn't change. Your brain that you programmed all these years doesn't necessarily change right then. But what does change is a spiritual change. And his Holy Spirit confirms that and bears witness to you. It's awesome. So I'm convinced that when God chooses to use this as the primary means to communicate such a substantial and important change. Well, dare we say, that's the most important thing in life, is to be saved and to have that spirit of adoption. Would you? And he's chosen not to confirm it in an outward way. He confirms it by what the Word of God says, first and foremost, which that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The Bible says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts on him, relies on him, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And then it says, by this we know we've passed from death to life, that we love our neighbor and love our brethren, and the people in the world will know that we're his disciples, that we love one another. There are indicators that come out after that, but the primary indicator is that the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the helper, bears witness. All right? And then it says before that, though, that those who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, the reason for it is that when you get saved and you're born anew spiritually, you have downloaded into your hard drive DNA, whatever you want to call it. He says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And that's why it's to our advantage. Because this amazing Holy Spirit of God, who knows the mind of the Father, who knows the future more than we know the past, who takes from Jesus and reveals to us, who shows us things to come, absolutely has indicated throughout the entire Bible that he is wanting to bring revelation and bring guidance. In fact, Paul prayed the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's not leaving us out in the dark. He's drawing us into the light. He wants us to be people in the know. That's why he said it's to your advantage that I go away, because I'm sending the other helper who's going to guide you and lead you into all the truth. This helps us as husbands and wives to make the vital decisions we have to make over children or with those business owners in here, decisions that need to be made. We're not just strictly left up to the squeaky wheel or the greatest opportunity or those types of things. Those are inferior, lesser impulses. God is looking for precision. He's calling us into a place where we can be sensitive to know his voice and be sensitized by him to lean into this and look for that inward witness and follow. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about this. Let's go back to the book of John real quick. John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus was in the great day of the feast. All the Jews had gathered. He was out there in the streets. He called and hollered out to everybody. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, that's not just enthusiasm. That's not just magnetism or excitement. That's not just a renewed optimism or a new hope. He's talking specifically in the next verse. It shows you what rivers of living water symbolize. But this, he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we see here that he's calling us into a vibrancy, and he's symbolizing the Holy Spirit as rivers of living water that will flow where? From? Out of your innermost being. Now, what do you suppose that is? That's a reference to the recreated human spirit. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. Now, you could read a lot in the Bible about how we're to put off the old man and put on the new man. We're to mortify the flesh in order that we might walk in the Spirit. In fact, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I want to lay this foundation because I feel that where we're at as a people, we need to be so determined and resolute and decisive. God is looking for men and women that he could use to be beacons of hope in a world that's gone fractured. And it's so important that we understand God's primary method of guidance is that inward witness, that still small voice, that bearing of witness. In order that we'll be receptive to the whole idea of it, we won't mistake any counterfeits for it. Listen, we don't need psychic stuff. We don't need tarot cards. We don't need palm readers. We don't need horoscopes. The stars were not designed. They're a sign, but they're not a fortune-telling gimmick. They are for signs, and certainly the Magi were impacted by the configuration of things. It's a holy thing. But not turning it into something in the back of a cheap magazine on whether how your day's going to be, or whether you should buy a car or not. And I just want to say the only time people counterfeit things is when they find the real thing and they substitute it for a false. So there really is a guidance. There really is, and I don't even want to call it paranormal because this is supernaturally normal. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I've been around long enough, and I don't like spooky, flaky stuff at all. And I just want to just go on record. The Old Testament prophets went into cities and towns and into people's lives and spoke declarative, directive things. And in the Old Testament, that was appropriate because those people were not born again. They were not, the Holy Spirit had not been poured out. And there was a random sort of spirit upon certain situations and certain people. Now, listen, God's primary method of guiding us by His Word and by this inward witness. If we come to understand that we are spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, that God's Word is spirit and it's life, and that my sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger they won't follow, that inherent in the new birth, we start to understand and know and distinguish the Master's voice. We being any child of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's not just a religious prodigy or somebody with a high elite aptitude, or that's just somebody else's gift of discernment. No, we're all given the opportunity with the spirit of adoption to be able to draw near to God, and He draws near to us, to be able to interact with Him in prayer and to be able to stand on His Word in vital, vital decisions. Now look at Galatians. There's a conflict here in our outer man and our inner man, and it says here in verse 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. I mean, really, we know that. How many of you guys notice there's a difference between your flesh carcass and the ideals of the hidden person of the heart? How many of you understand there's a bit of a conflict there? But see, on the other hand, if we understand that we're a new creation and we develop our spirit and we sow toward our spirit, we'll reap life everlasting. We sow to the flesh, we reap corruption, and how we've all painfully experienced that. You know, but if we'll meditate on His Word and we'll be strengthened in fellowship with Him, our spirit will actually gain the ascendancy and we'll grow in Him. We're to grow up in all aspects in Him. That's why we speak the truth in love. That's why there's spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. I wanted to get these things over to you today because so you understand, wow, I could be led by the Spirit. That you'll learn to recognize that intuitive nudging and prompting that's going on the inside of you is in fact something that God has downloaded into you and His Holy Spirit wants to communicate with your spirit. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 really tells it clearly. The spirit of a man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. What this is saying is, God the Spirit has chosen by His Holy Spirit to speak to our spirit, not to our five physical senses, not to our thinking power. It's not intellect, and it's not physical. Now you say, well, but doesn't everything filter through my feelings and my, like right now I'm hearing you preach and I'm hearing with my eardrums and that's physical. Yeah, this is why He sanctifies us entirely, spirit, soul, and body. That's the issue I want to get over to you. We are spirits, we have souls, we live in bodies, but that part of us that's eternal, that spirit has an opportunity and is in fact, this is the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us, is by His Spirit to our spirit. That's why, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Like Gideon, the great man of God, in the book of Judges, he put out a fleece when the angel visited him, and it's for good reason. He was not a born-again believer. He did not have the Holy Spirit in him. He had not experienced the new birth. He was not in this covenant. Therefore, he was limited by his senses. So he needed sensory reinforcement. You don't see anywhere in the New Testament where they continued on that kind of course. Why? Because this is a new covenant inaugurated on better promises, and those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, you guys, we don't need to put fleeces out. And if you don't understand that Bible story, it's a wonderful Bible story, but when I see New Testament Christians try to put fleeces out to see if something's God or not, I'm telling you, the devil likes to play games with those things because he's the god of this world. He's a manipulator. He's been a devil a lot longer than we've been human. And he's good at being the devil. And he comes to deceive. So I've even had people, well, I'm looking for a confirmation on this. I'm looking. Don't look for outward verification on the leadership and guidance of God. He does want to lead you by His Spirit in those subtle promptings. Listen to me. This is good news. This is off limits to El Diablo. Remember, because the Holy Spirit will only guide us into the truth. This is what's so cool. He'll deliver us from doctrines of devils, trickery of men, error, the spirit of error. And this is how we decipher the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. This helps us with our Bible interpretation. It helps us to know where to walk and how to go. And I'm telling you, it's so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. This is why He said, it's to your advantage that I go. Because I'm sending you a helper. He's going to lead you into all the truth. He's going to guide you. And He doesn't guide us into temptation. He guides us in a course of fruitfulness, of efficiency. You guys, years back when I started the church, God had spoken to my heart. And I had to go through this different process just like everybody else. But the one thing that I had to go and investigate and look at different buildings and things like that. But what I'm really most grateful for is the overriding, overshadowing benefit of the helper who comes alongside to help and guides and shines light. I mean, He's helped me with decisions about kids, about travel, about what to put our hand to, what to refrain from. I mean, I just want to brag on the Spirit of God. I want to talk to you about how great the God of the universe is, that He let us be made in His image, and then He'd give us His Holy Spirit. He'd reactivate us. This is what salvation is. There's only one type of Christian. There's a lot of, plaid and polka dot and checkered and all of that, but if you layer it down into this essence, you must be born again. That is a Bible term for a spiritual birth. In order for me to be on the earth as a human, I had to be born. I had to have a parent situation, and I had to have a conception and a labor and a delivery and a wah! And then, same thing with this birth. I had to turn from my sin. I had to ask Jesus into my heart. I recognized what He did on the cross. I received Him. I humbled myself. He came in, miracle of miracles. His Spirit carried and bore witness to me. I mean, some people have goosebumps, some people don't. Some people cry, some people don't. Some people feel lighter, some people feel heavier. I had a headache, and I wondered what was going to happen when my friends found out at school. That was my first initial feeling of salvation. I wonder, what am I getting into, man? So I didn't have a floating, everything's technicolor, but I did have His Spirit bearing witness with my spirit. You follow what I'm talking about? And by that, He wants to continue to guide us. All right. I want to get this over to you. I've got 5 questions to ask when we're looking for guidance. Number one, here's what you ask. Since I've laid the foundation that we're led by the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is interested in revealing things to our spirit. Number one, you ask, does it line up with God's Word? Does it line up with God's Word? Is it sound and scriptural, moral? Will it ultimately glorify God and help people? These are the questions you ask yourself. Does what line up with Scripture? Whatever God is, you start to sense God is prompting you to do. You say, well, now, is this biblical? This is our guide. We look to the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet. So you ask yourself, is this biblical? Say, for example, in the 70s when God was prompting me in that amazing summer of 77 where I felt like God was telling me to have a home base in Chesterfield. Well, that's nowhere in the Bible, have a home base in Chesterfield. But what is biblical is that God does call people. So I had to make my calling and election sure. I had to start to evaluate this and see if I was just appointing myself or if I was coming up with something and, in a transitional moment of my life. I labored over it because I did not want to do something and step out in a way that wasn't something of God. And I wanted to check the Word of God. So I thought, well, the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel. So it's biblical to have outreach. And I saw that Jesus said He built His church and the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it. So I thought, whatever I do has got to be tied into the local church. It comes out of the church. That's where it all thrives out of. So I saw that. And you look at things in light of what the Word says. You go back, this is the plumb line. This is the level. This shows us God's heart. This reveals things to us. So when you have guidance issues, you want to make sure what you're getting in your heart, is this biblical? Is this scriptural? Is it ultimately going to glorify God and help people? Number two, there's another question you can ask yourself. And this is essentially what I'm really focusing on today. Does it, quote, bear witness, unquote, in my inside? Does it bear witness? Bear witness can become a lingo, church lingo. And I hope it doesn't, but it you know, for lack of a better term, I mean, it's the King James point that Paul wrote to the Romans, his spirit, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our human spirit, our recreated human spirit, that we're the sons of God. God chose to make that the primary way of communicating to us we're saved. I suggest to you that his word is a lamp to our feet, so that's the preeminent guidance focus, but then the Holy Spirit has been sent as a helper in those specific particulars of our lives. There's nowhere in the New Testament that said, Jeff, have Chelsea go to school early rather than wait and have her be the oldest in class. So I had to go to the Lord and say, God, I don't have any specific verse on whether Chelsea should start kindergarten now or later. So I'm going to go and pray for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5 says that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says Jesus has become wisdom to us. Proverbs all through it says the primary thing is to seek wisdom. I saw that it was available, and in that specific thing of my life, I had to go take it before the Lord. If you have not because you ask not, believe you receive when you pray. So I went in there and I wanted to find out what God was saying. Chelsea was at a critical point and I sensed the destiny on her life as I did all my kids. So I thought I better pray about this because I thought she'd be at an advantage if she was the oldest of her class. Would she be disadvantaged if she was the younger of her class? Then I started praying about 15, 20 years down the road. And I started thinking, man, and this is my first kid, so I was obsessing on it, you know. Your first kid, I mean, you don't let him eat candy, you know, you know what I mean, you know, you strap them in, everything. And then by the third kid, you let them juggle knives and stuff like that and all that. Give them the keys to the car when they're 8. But you shouldn't. But anyway, so I prayed about it. And God had something to say about it. He did this with all my children. I prayed about specific things and all those moments. And you look for that witness in your heart. You know, Paul the Apostle perceived things when they were taking him captive in that journey. You know, like he said, you guys, listen, man. You know, he was getting revelation. There are different levels of this. You know, he had a vision of the Macedonian man. There was a nighttime dream vision, and God does do that in the New Testament. He does that. But the primary, that's a rarity, the primary one that God's chosen to govern and lead the church by is his word and that inward witness, that still small voice. You hear me? Case in point, Elijah, when he was looking for God, I mean, the thunder and the lightning and everything and all the sensational stuff, he was hearing a still small voice. I think that was an Old Testament type and shadow of the future of what God was trying to do to corral people into his presence, get us sensitive to his voice, where we know the master's voice, where we're fellowshipping with him and we're standing in interaction with him, where we're not making these things up. We're not pulling it out of the air. It's not coming off of goosebumps and sore bunions or whatever kind of thing that, you know, that people get guidance by. We're following the witness of the Spirit. Does it bear witness? You can face off with things. Many opportunities will come to us. And you just have to get to a place where it's like, what should I do? Even Jesus in Mark chapter 1 had a great experience at the beginning of his ministry. Great breakthrough in a village. And he was praying. He got up early and went into a solitary place and prayed. That might be a good indication for all of us. We need to spend some solitude time with God. It would help, you know, if we can. You say, well, yeah, great. When can we get it? Got to make it. Jesus would often slip away. Peter found him and said, Lord, people are looking for you. And he said, let's go to the next town because that's why I came forth. And the that's why I came forth part interests me because there are a lot of good things we could do and there are a lot of lesser things we can do. But what is the main thing God has for each one of us as individuals? I'm thinking this for our church. I'm thinking this for our region. And I'm just believing God that this helper that the Lord sent, that he was so enthusiastic about, he said he'd pour out his spirit on all flesh. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. We've got a calling to reach nations out of here. We've got a vibrant message as ambassadors for Christ where God's going to set us up in situation after situation, in prayer, in personal sharing, helping people. And I'm telling you, listen, as the world gets sort of shaken, we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. People are looking around trying to Chicken Little the sky. What's going to happen next? And hearing voices, the loudest articulate voice, and most of it is bad report. Bad report sells, and people are doing a good job at sharing bad news. So we got to dial in to that Joshua, Caleb kind of thing where they listened to what God's word had said and followed the discipline of following God's spirit, and they said, we shall by all means possess the land. And what I'm pronouncing in this church, what I want you guys to get a hold of right now, is my sheep know my voice. Inherent in the salvation experience of your life, you've been activated to know the master's voice. You know how to hear from God, and the voice of a stranger you will not follow. I say that with confidence, not based on impressions I have, not based on spending time with you to see what your aptitudes are, see how what your intuition is like and all that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, that rivers of living water will flow out of us. The helper has come. It's poured out on all flesh. Every believer has the advantage of the Holy Spirit, and he is guiding us into all the truth. And so we ask ourselves, what does this bear witness? Last night, my son Kingston said, Dad, I want to go do this, or maybe I have this option or this option. I was talking to one of his siblings. I said, wait a minute, hold on. So I said, finally, look, you go walk around and pray and you come back and you tell me what you get in your spirit. He said, oh, I don't know how to do that stuff. I said, yes, you do. So he said, okay. So he walked and then he got a direction. He had options and all the options peeled back. And there was, and I had a witness in my spirit about it as a dad. But he, more importantly, he had a witness in his spirit about it. You understand what I mean by witness in your spirit? Where you just, there's a knowing. And it's wonderful. It's so wonderful that your spirit, that's the part of you that God speaks to, can either be alerted to something that isn't quite right or affirmed that, yeah, go for it. It's kind of like in the Old Testament, they said, this is the way, a voice will come saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Listen, I don't hear audible voices. I know the still small voice. That inward witness is the primary guide that God wants to help us with. In fact, the Holy Spirit's called a helper. So you ask yourself, does this bear witness in my spirit? You follow that? Oh, this will help you with summer mission trips. This will help you with what to do. Now you say, well, I don't know. Does it bear a witness in my spirit to go to church today? Well, the Bible says we should not forsake assembling. You don't even have to pray about it. Plug into church. But there are times sometimes where a couple needs to get a break. So maybe Friday night, you may actually have a prompting to go out on a date instead of come Friday night church. The pastor just said that. I talked to a couple last week. They had a prompting that they're so committed. I mean, they're here 5 times more than most of us. So they just needed a break. But then they felt the same sort of witness in their spirit to take a break from service. Then they felt prompted to come to the prayer meeting. And God hugely used them in the prayer meeting, and they were involved with something that pushed things through. And prayer meeting ended up going for an hour and 15 minutes longer. So I got back at them for the hour and a half they missed in the morning. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I was honoring them. But my point is, we can be led by the Spirit. We can be led by the Spirit. Listen to me. We develop that person, the hidden person of the heart. We understand and recognize that God sanctifies us entirely, spirit, soul, and body. That we are spirits, we have souls, we live in bodies, that we're to worship in spirit and truth. That we're to develop, to just as much as we're to take care of our physical bodies and make sure we eat right and stay in shape and work our muscles, lest they become flabby and lest we become out of shape. Same with the spiritual man. We can develop and be strengthened with might and power by His Spirit in the inner man. You know, Art Bailey's here, and I saw Billy Graham. And when he was here in 99, and I was in a room, and a guy came in, and I didn't recognize him at first. This is a senior guy with silver hair, but then when he got up in the pulpit, it's like he got changed into another man. It's like somebody kind of filled him up with something, like with holy air, you know, and he just got up, and then, of course, there was that familiar Carolina voice, the Bible says, you know, and it was like, whoa, that was him. But at first, it was like, is that him? And it's like he strengthens you with might and power by the Spirit and the inner man. Something to be said about this. Check the witness in your spirit. I follow this. This has been a reliable source of reference and help. I don't want to violate this. I want to follow it. Number 3, is it consistent with the overall general sense I have for my life? When you have a prompting or something, you check and see, is this consistent with the overall general sense I have for my life? When opportunities come, there's certain things God has downloaded in you. There's certain things God's prepared you for. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. And I just don't think the Lord wants us to be running all over the place trying to figure things out. I think He wants us to settle in. We have the mind of Christ. He's given us His Spirit, not the Spirit that's from the world, but the Spirit that comes from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Are you hearing me? Man, is this consistent with this opportunity or this moment? Is this consistent with the overall general sense I have for my life? Is it in the Word? Does it bear witness? Is it consistent? Number four, am I being pressured to make a hasty decision? You ask yourself, am I being pressured to make a hasty decision? The Bible says those who make haste with their feet err. You increase the potential to mess up when you're compulsive. Isaiah 28:16 says, he that believes shall not make haste. There's something about not being compulsive. By that, I do not mean that God advocates complacency, passivity, inertia, or procrastination. But what I am saying is the Holy Spirit tends to govern us in areas of peace. The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. And I've noticed some amazing, sometimes illustrious opportunities have come to me, and they're underscored with a bunch of pressure. Got to hurry up and make the decision. Hurry up and make the decision. And I remember I had an opportunity I thought of a lifetime, dream come true, and the person was saying, decide, what do you want to do? And I said, well, based on these verses, I need to think about this. Okay, well, go to lunch and then come tell me after lunch. It's like, well, I need a little bit more time than that. And they were operating out of a different system and a different approach, more of a fleece type of thing and more of a different approach toward interpreting God's purposes. Pressure was coming. So I bought a little bit of time with it, and sure enough, God revealed to me that was not, in fact, the thing I was to do. In fact, I had prayed about getting to do this. It was something I had wished for and idealized. So I had a little bit of muddy water there that I had to work through because I had all these prior wishful thinking things that were sort of mixed in with God's purposes and His will. Follow this? And God was gracious to help me ferret through that and distinguish between good, better, and best, between flesh and spirit, between what was really God and what really wasn't God. And I'm telling you, it was awesome. Even with the array of great opportunities, not all opportunities are necessarily God. You follow this? So don't get under pressure. Now, I'm glad the firemen that responded to the call when our chimney caught on fire, I'm glad they didn't stand around for a couple hours and go, let's think about whether we should do this or not. I'm glad they were. Some things we do need, like when we're driving and stuff, we need to be alert, right? When it comes to big, vast guidance issues of life, don't get pressurized to make a hasty decision. Last point, number five, numero cinco. How do significant people in my life feel about it? Notice number one, what does it say in God's word? Number two, does it bear witness? Number three, is it consistent with the overall purpose of my life? Number four, am I pressurized to make a hasty decision? And number five, how does significant people in my life feel about it? You know, they're in the multitude of counselors, their safety. Now notice this is not inverted. A lot of times we want to go run to everybody else and say, what do you think? And get all everybody's opinion on a thing. But number one, we need to understand the still small voice and understand His holy word, and that is His primary guidance system. I will say this, though. God's designed us to be interactive. And the benefit of iron sharpening iron is not to be underestimated. The benefit of good counsel. I, for all my Christian life, have watched, you know, listened to the people over me in the Lord and mentor types and pastor and people like that. I've said, what do you think about this? When, especially the more major and vast the impact of the decision, the more critical it is that I work through these processes. But number one, with a confidence that those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hey, you flat out can hear from God. Listen, you flat out can hear from God. You can. You say, well, I haven't lately. You haven't been listening. I'm afraid to. I know people who hear voices. They freak me out. I'm not advocating that. I'm telling you what I'm telling you, and I'm also telling you what I'm not telling you. All voices are significant, but not every voice is the voice of the Spirit. In fact, we know the good shepherd's voice. The good shepherd, it always lines up with the word. The good shepherd is always going to bear witness in your spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to have an impact on you. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. I ran into Charlie Harris. His family owned this building back in the 90s and I ran into him at Sam's. It was great to see him. And he said, keep spreading the good word. I just want to thank you. It was such a catalytic moment that you honored our congregation and helped us. It was a springboard in our church. But I'm going to tell you, before I met Charlie, I went to movie theater. I went to strip malls. I went to I went to so many different places in pursuit of where we should land as a church. And I mean, it was brutal. I'm in cars with real estate agents. I'm having that after lunch sort of coma thing. And I feel the weight of the world. I mean, it's like, God, how can I hear from you? I just had Chinese food full of MSG. I can't even hear you. I'm shutting down. I'm locking up. And God was so good to shine light and eventually bring us to this. He's so faithful. He will guide us with his eye upon us. It's first and foremost with that witness in your spirit. And I remember when I signed on the lease for this building, I remember praying about it, fasting, seeking God. We worked on it. We felt like it was right. We were pushing things through. And yet right at the moment of signing on that lease and seeing that number of the amount we were committing to, that right before I got ready to sign it, my hand got seized and I halted and I looked and I considered and calculated the cost. And I had this moment. And the guy across the table from me said, that's a big number, isn't it? That kind of, you know, and I heard myself say, yeah. Man, I was a man of faith and power. I knew I had prayed. I was being led by the Spirit, but there was still a bit of apprehension. So let's just be real here. In everything in the arena of life, there are elements of uncertainty and there are issues we got to work through, and there's our whole humanity that gets involved with this. So listen, it's a process, but listen. That we could be sanctified spirit and soul and body. We could develop the hidden person of the heart as realistically as we could take care of our body, eat right, and get exercise and sleep right, and it will ensure better quality of physical life. We can learn and be learners and grow in knowledge and improve at work and expand as this life and world is ever changing. We can get smarter. We can grow. We can think. Spiritually, we can grow and get stronger and stronger and gain ground. But number one, you have to understand, those who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Here are some techniques to improve your guidance capabilities. Number one, double up on the divider. Double up on the word. Everybody lift up your Bible. Be sure to get a Bible. Bring it to church every week. Keep it with you. Take it into the restaurant when you go eat. Take it at work and read it during your lunch hour. Number two, fellowship with God. Remember, you can fellowship with the Father, with His Son, and you can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Number three, continually acknowledge God's willingness and ability to lead you. Say this with me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. I'm led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my helper. He guides me into all the truth. He's teaching me and showing me things to come. He's revitalizing me. As I walk in the Spirit, I don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. I'm governed and led by the Spirit, not by the five physical senses, not by leaning on my own understanding, not by the opinions of others, not by the greatest opportunities or the most difficult challenges. I am Spirit-led. Spirit-taught and Spirit-led. I know the Master's voice. It's inherent in my new birth. Now listen, if you're not born again, that's foreign to you, but it's accessible to you. He's a prayer away. Jesus loves you. And if you're not saved, you're not sure, you don't have that witness, and I hope so. Listen, you can know so. The Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free as you commit to walk with Him. So there is a salvation experience that's real. You may have been raised in church all your life, and you may not have been in church much. But God wants to come in and fill you with His power and with His presence. So if you're not a Christian, today is the day of salvation. You come in here and your life feels like it's falling apart, or maybe things are cool, but you just have that ache that's not being fulfilled by anything else. I'm telling you, that's a gift from God. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, which means He's stirring in you to draw you to the Lord. The Father's drawing you. He wants you to know Jesus, the only one, the catalyst that brings change, who saves people from their sins. Jesus is it, man. For Asia, for the Latin world, for the whole Europe, everywhere, He's the Savior. He wants to be your Savior. So today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Ask Him to come into your life. Just receive Jesus. Trust Him to come into your heart. You say, well, is it that simple? Yeah, it's a gift. Gifts are simple. The giver gives it, and we receive it. You don't have to do a whole bunch of stuff. It's you receive, you mean it, you take it sincerely, and you walk with it. But God's grace is what changes us, His amazing presence and power. You say, man, you know what? You just nailed it. That's me. I need Jesus to come into my heart. And today I really want to surrender my life to Him. I want God, and I just want to acknowledge that. I need an opportunity to really just step out of the woodwork and just say yes to Jesus. If that's you, you say, man, pray for me. I want that Holy Spirit bearing witness in my spirit. I want Jesus to come into my life. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. I want salvation on His terms. I'm not horsing around. I'm not playing games. I finally realize I need Jesus to be my Savior. You're saying, I want Jesus. Most of you, it's for the first time. You're saying, man, I need God. Some of you, it's so desperate. I'm not blowing smoke, man. I don't know your situation, but I'm glad to tell you that God does. And the Bible says He's near the brokenhearted. He's beautiful for situation. He's a wonderful counselor. Jesus is substantial. This isn't just a bunch of religious theory. This isn't some wispy, unsubstantial thing. He is an ever-present help in time of need. He loves you. He loves you. He forgives you. You say, I made a huge mess of my life. That's what every one of us has done. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous. None of us have earned this. We've all fallen short and failed. We've all sinned. God is so merciful, though. I think I'm going to need eternity to figure it out, just why He's just so merciful and so good. God is so good. His mercy endures forever. Listen, right where you're standing, it's holy ground. And I just want to encourage you not to relax or back off, but fully surrender to what God has for your life. Pray this from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to connect with You on Your terms. I believe in You, that You're a historical person, but that You're also the Son of God, and that You died and You rose again, and that You're real. You're the only one capable of saving. I want You to come into my life. Please forgive me of all my sins. Uncloud my life by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for a day of new beginnings. I receive mercy and grace. And as I stand praying, I forgive everybody. And I lay aside all my petty stuff. And I'm going to press on and follow You. From this moment forward, do something substantial with my life. Enroll me as a disciple. Use me to serve You. Put me in position with others where I could be the real deal for them. Help me to follow through 10, 20, 30 years from now, all the way to my last breath. Thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' name. Man, if you prayed that for the first time, welcome to the family. If you just rededicated your life, stay with it, man. Get rid of the stuff that's hindering you, man. Throw it out and make some provision for your spirit. Make no provision for the flesh. Get after it in God, and God bless you.